What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward family hospital in partnership with physician owners. What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward family hospital in partnership with physician owners.
Hi everyone, this is Isaac from IlluminatiWatcher.com. Before we start the show, I just want to give a brief note that today is not the standard interview format. Instead, I'll be talking about this project that I just released called It's Just a Jump to the Left, the Unauthorized Guide to Occult Symbolism in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Now, most of you already know, because I sent out a survey to you guys that are on the email list about which projects you wanted to see coming up, and this is one of the ones on that. But one of the reasons I'm releasing this on the podcast stream is because I want everyone to know that I am doing a free promotion download giveaway on Amazon Kindle. You can get this Rocky Horror Picture Show symbolism guide until March 16th, 2016 for free. If you're listening to the show after that, my apologies. If you sign up for the email newsletter on my website, IlluminatiWatcher.com, you will be notified of these sort of things in the future because I do these randomly. Typically, as new books release, I'll do free promotion giveaways. It's sort of my way of giving back and saying thanks because, you know, a lot of people out there kind of help me make sense of these theories because I'll write what I believe, then I'll read through comments or get emails or whatever, and a lot of the stuff that people tell me, you know, I actually listen to it, and sometimes it helps mold my perception of things. And this is kind of like a project I believe we have started, so to speak. So it's just my way of saying thanks. And in this book, you'll see that the tone of my writing is starting to change slightly. I use more references to the planned destruction of Christianity because I believe that is more evident. And most of you that have been following me for some years know that that's not a place I wanted to take this to. I tried to keep things pretty secular when I started out, but it's becoming more clear that the big agenda is the destruction of Christianity, including other religions, but Christianity seems to be the one with that's the big problem for them. I don't get too into the fire and brimstone stuff, but it is mentioned in the book. So anyways, if you're listening, please go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and you will find the article about this. It's called It's Just a Jump to the Left. Click on the article, and in it you'll find the link that'll take you to the free book download giveaway. And again, you've only got until March 16th, 2016. If you're listening to this after that, my apologies. Please sign up for the email newsletter on IlluminatiWatcher.com and you will be notified of these things in the future. I keep everybody up to date with the status of promotions. So here it is. Here is the audio. I actually used this for the YouTube video. So if you wanted to check out the YouTube channel, I've got the same audio put against images that were provided in the book. So anyways, I hope you enjoy. One final caveat. I've actually got a paperback of this as well. So if you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, click on the article for It's Just a Jump to the Left, you'll see I've got a Create Space link. You can get it on Amazon as well, but they haven't linked the two books together yet. Long story. But anyways, you can get it as well. I've got some copies that I'm going to be autographing if people want to buy it that way. That'll be available in my Gumroad store probably in April 2016. Anyways, enjoy the show. Thanks. Hi, everyone. This is Isaac from IlluminatiWatcher.com. Today I'd like to talk about a subject that is close to my heart and close to several of yours, I believe. It is about the film from the 70s that is the longest running film in theater history. This is a film that I grew up on. I listen to all the songs, I know all the lyrics, I attend the annual showings, and of course this film is Rocky Horror Picture Show. Now, why I want to talk about it is because I've seen a lot of the things we've been talking about on IlluminatiWatcher.com and in my books for the last several years. A lot of these same themes show up in Rocky Horror Picture Show. I hadn't been aware of this because when you grow up being a fan of this sort of thing, and I'm a part of the cult following of Rocky Horror, it takes a certain amount of self-awareness to understand that maybe I've been duped all this time. Now that doesn't mean I want to trash the film and never watch it again, and I'll explain my feelings later on, but I wanted to kind of go into the sort of hidden agenda here that seems pretty obvious once you look into it. In fact, when I started peeling back the layers, I found an overwhelming amount of evidence and supporting material. So what I did was, I put together this project, this book. And this book is called It's Just a Jump to the Left, The Unauthorized Guide to Occult Symbolism in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is now available on all of your major book outlets. But the point is, I wrote this book because there's way too much to explain in one post on the website or one video on YouTube. It's approximately 20,000 words, but if you can pick up the book, you can see all of my arguments presented with some screenshots from the film, which are fair use that I used to display some of the concepts. But I wanted to provide this as a way of kind of guiding you through what we're going to talk about. And first, I'd like to cover sort of my interests in Rocky Horror. You know, I grew up with driving around with my father as a child, and he used to always listen to the Rocky Horror Picture Show soundtrack on a cassette tape. And it's very strange because he was kind of a big burly dude, you know, worked in a prison. He was as a prison guard. He didn't work. He wasn't incarcerated, but the point is, you know, he was always into this sort of thing. And it wasn't any other show tune. It was always just Rocky Horror. And I believe I've inherited his sort of attraction to these dark arts, because the more I learn about the occult, the more I find that a lot of these artists and films that I've always loved, they've always got this kind of Luciferian tinge to them. So not surprisingly, Rocky Horror is the same way. So I want to be clear that I really do enjoy the film. I enjoy the songs. I'm going to the annual showings. And on some levels, that makes me a hypocrite because I'm saying, look, I think there's a Luciferian doctrine in this film. But, you know, I'm still trying to work on myself, trying to figure out how far I want to take this belief system and, you know, how much I want to practice what I preach, so to speak. Because, look, I'm just like you. I'm just like everyone out there. I struggle with my own issues. And it's just the fact that I've become awake in these last few years and being able to spot this sort of hidden agenda in entertainment. I'm still not fully unplugged from the Matrix yet, right? Most of us are still plugged in somewhat. We're supposed to live in this world, but not of this world. And I struggle with the latter. I struggle with trying to break free from being of the world. And besides, I don't want to get negative with things. I try to keep things positive and an open mind. But anyways, I understand it's a conflicting message, but bear with me. Because the purpose here is I want to just reveal this potentially sinister agenda that's hidden in this film. It's part of this Illuminati evolution of consciousness I've been talking about for some time now. Because once I break down everything, you'll see that there is indeed a Luciferian agenda in this film, without a doubt. Now that's not to say the film is entirely bad. It's kind of like a lot of these liberal ideas that some of them I support, and I've supported my whole life. It's kind of like these ideas of equality for people, having an open mind, not living up to society's norms, which I agree with on some level, because I'm sort of anti-establishment. And I think that's healthy, because if you just go with the flow of what everyone else is doing, now you're being led like a sheep to whatever the end goal is. And this is where a lot of our paths converge and diverge, is because some of us believe in like a new age sort of religion that's anti-establishment, whereas I'm Christian, and which is part of the establishment, allegedly. You know, I don't know. I just know what I believe and what works for me, and I don't judge other people for what they believe. I'm fine with whatever, but as long as you're not being led down a path that you're not making active decisions, I'm supportive of it. And this film is very much trying to relay the message of, look, everyone's their own person, everyone's got their own journey. Allow people to have that freedom. The issue is that when you start looking at some of the themes that show up in this film, you'll see a lot of the stuff we've been talking about. We're talking about how this film shows up annually as part of a ritual on the pagan holiday of Samhain. And it draws its viewers into this kind of dark world of sex magic and Luciferian doctrine. And there's a purpose for that time warp dance. And we'll get into that a bit later. But we're going to learn a lot about how there's this idea of this perfected form of mankind, which is androgynous and not a male-female dichotomy. We'll learn about Frankenfurter and how he was kind of the Prometheus character. This is a Luciferian doctrine. Of course, Aleister Crowley's in here with the Aeon of Ahorus, his channeling of this alien lamb, and, you know, in the Rocky Horror film, there's these pansexual aliens from another dimension, transsexual Transylvania. They are the vampires of the Klepoth, and we'll learn how the Time Warp is this Dionysian ritual where they're trying to cross through and become perfected. In the book, I also go into some of the backgrounds of some of the people that are related to this film that you wouldn't expect. People like Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones, Lady Gaga, Anton LaVey, Kenneth Anger, they all have relations to this thing, which ties us into Aleister Crowley and whatnot. But ultimately, the film has a lot of these kind of hidden secret teachings of alchemy and Kabbalah, transhumanism, and the pursuit of this self-deification agenda of becoming God. Again, that's the theme we always see. I talked about that in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, the hip-hop conspiracy book. It's a lot of these artists and entertainers, they're embodying this occult belief system in becoming a god. That's why you see Kanye West as thinking he's Jesus, calling himself Yeezus. Beyonce is Beezus. Jay-Z is Hova. And the list goes on and on. It's a self-deification idea. So in the book, I guide you through one chapter at a time, and we start out with talk about nihilism and this YOLO movement of the modern day. This is the you only live once attitude. And we see this play out in the film because when Brad and Janet show up at the castle, it seems very dark. And eventually, it switches over to this like sex magic stuff with love. But then it gets absolved into this void of the abyss, which is the ultimate goal for a lot of these people trying to traverse the Tree of Life. That's why at the end of the film, there's a song called Superheroes. And in it, they talk a lot about what's going on here. And it actually embodies the end game of nihilism, where it says stuff about how the human race are insects lost in time, lost in space and meaning. Well, that's exactly what is encapsulated in the nihilism movement, which is what we're experiencing right now. Now, a lot of confusion happens here because the YOLO movement is what is fueling a lot of decisions nowadays by the, you know, perhaps the youth, the millennials, I don't know. But it's this recurring theme we see over and over. And people are confusing it with Nietzsche's nihilism stuff, where he talks about living without regrets. Because YOLO is kind of living every day and without regrets. But in all reality, if you study Nietzsche's work, he talked about how you should use this kind of YOLO idea to reduce the number of regrets. But YOLO actually introduces more regrets because you're not considering the future. Nonetheless, the point is that nihilism has become a way of life that most of us are unaware of. We're kind of soaked into this world of believing life is meaningless and there's nothing after this life. It's sort of an atheistic sort of view of the world. You know, Nietzsche was the guy who was talking about there's no God. And the idea is that they want to abandon this sort of moral code that we've built as a society in order to wipe the slate clean and rebuild it with a new moral code. When you consider that the Latin derivative of nihilism, nihil, means nothing, you can see that that's the end game. They want to destroy everything. This is why in 2016 you're going to see the film X-Men Apocalypse. It's talking about destroying the world so that they can rebuild it according to a new belief system. Because the ultimate end game, like I'm always talking about, it seems like they're trying to just destroy Christianity. I mean, they want to destroy all world religions, but it seems like they've got a particular beef with Christianity. And look, I you know me, I don't really get into a lot of this kind of trying to Bible thumb stuff. I kind of leave my religion separate from my work, but the fact of the matter is they're converging. The truth is that they're really trying to destroy Christianity in the end. And that's why you see a Rocky Horror Picture Show, Frankenfurter is trying to sell his idea of reality and morality to planet Earth. He's the Luciferian Prometheus that comes to Earth to try to show us the new way, the new world order. Brad and Janet buy into it, and we're left with wondering, what is the proper way forward? Should we abandon our society-formed morals? And that is the question. Of course, we all know Riff Raff ends it all when he says, it's over, your mission is a failure, your lifestyle is too extreme. But it doesn't matter. Frankenfurter came to plant the seed. And that's why we see this film showing up every year. Because Frankenfurter was the alien that came down here as the Prometheus character. He stole fire from Zeus and gave it to the humans to enlighten them. He is the fallen angel that is enlightening mankind with his way of thinking, with this new world order. Now, in my book, I go through more connections with this Prometheus idea. When you consider that the novel written by Mary Shelley called Frankenstein or the Modern Prometheus, that's actually the subtitle, or the Modern Prometheus, that is the same concept that we're seeing with a lot of these films nowadays. Because in Rocky Horror, not only is the main idea behind this that Frankenfurter is kind of like the modern Dr. Frankenstein, but we hear it because the castle they're in is called the Frankenstein Castle. They're using actual props from the Frankenstein films from the Hammer Horror days. This is, again, just one more play on science being our new doctrine of looking at life as the new religion. That's why Frankenfurter is, in fact, a doctor and a scientist. He is the guiding star that they talk about when Brad and Janet are singing over at the Frankenstein place. When they say, in the velvet darkness of the blackest night, burning bright, there's a guiding star. Dr. Frankenfurter is the guiding star. He's the light bearer of Lucifer, who fell like lightning. So let's consider the idea that Frankenfurter, who is indeed an alien, as the story tells us, is this new perfected form of mankind. His androgynous characteristics are not much different than what a lot of occultists believe in as the true form of alien god, right? And look, I want to throw a caveat out there, because this film isn't 100% occultish, I should say, because that message could also be considered just a message of equality, because back when this was, you know, written in the 70s, things were a lot different than they are nowadays. Like, the film definitely has an aspect of supporting the LGBT movement and that kind of idea. So I'm not trying to take that away from it, but I need you to consider the ideas of the Baphomet, which is saying that there is a perfected form of mankind which removes the roles of male and female, which again ties us into this nihilism idea of destroying the social norms that we know of and trying to replace it with a new code. Indeed, we find out that Frankenfurter's character is neither male or female. He is a third sex. That's from the writer, Richard O'Brien, who is the one that plays the role of Riff Raff. Frank is the evolved form of mankind. When they interview Tim Curry, who's the man who plays Frankenfurter, he directly tells us that the character is pansexual, meaning they are blind to gender. There's no sexual preference. It's a lot like the character of Deadpool that I wrote a whole different article on. But it's the idea that you can differentiate from male and female and have a different third path.
But he does have he's very unhappy about his temper.
Yes.
He does get the better of him. He does serve people up his meals.
Right. Do you think that this is influencing the youth of America or even elsewhere to try things that possibly society would condemn?
I don't know that it's influencing them to try it at all. I think it's just influencing them to keep their mind a little more open. And that is certainly a victory.
Yes, it is.
To say, you know, listen, all things are possible, and let's entertain the possibility.
Right.
It doesn't mean to say you have to rush out and screw anything that moves.
Also, it has a very good effect in the idea of tolerance. We accept, these kids are going to accept the difference of people without looking at them with such disdain.
Well, I think so, because, I mean, the thing about Frankenfurter is that his sexual tastes are, I mean, completely pansexual. I mean, he's really interested in the sort of corners of people or in obvious parts of people's nature. He finds most people attractive, really, and he'll entertain the notion of sleeping with anybody, really. But he's actually seeing it kind of as people, you know, not as you know, obvious sort of sexual vibrations or anything. And because he is an attractive person on a kind of double level, I mean, it makes it so much easier to handle.
Mm-hmm. But you said there's no similarity between you and that character in any way, right?
Oh, I don't know what the similarities are. I mean, I'll probably still be documenting them for the next sort of 20 years. I mean, the thing about playing somebody like that is it wakes you up to all those possibilities as well. So, I mean, the one thing that I've always been very concerned to do is not to limit myself either. Whether it's artistically or physically or sexually or mentally or... I mean, he's been a great lesson to me, put it that way.
The main objective of the film is to create a man. This is the alchemical process. This is the pinnacle of creation. It is the great work, aka the philosopher's stone. It's about taking these opposing qualities of male and female, reconciling them into one, which is called the rebus, the divine hermaphrodite. In the film, we see Frankenfurter playing this out with his failed creations of Eddie and then Rocky. And I find it interesting that our main characters that guide us into this world are Brad and Janet. Now, Brad and Janet, they represent the entrance to this mystical world, just like Boaz and Joaquin. They are the twin pillars. So we've got Boaz, Brad, and Joaquin, Janet guarding the entrance to this mystical world. They're going to take us on a transformative journey. Again, we're talking about the Baphomet concepts here. On Baphomet's arm, you'll see the words solve and coagula. These Latin terms mean to separate and join together, which is again the great work. They're pursuing this perfected form of mankind through Rocky and eliminating sex and gender identities altogether in the end. And they're doing this under the guidance of Frankenfurter, who's the Luciferian character. He is the serpent messiah. He brings light to mankind in order for them to become God. In the Bible, they talked about the king of Babylon being like Lucifer when they say, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations." And in Luke, we also hear that Satan fell like lightning from heaven. Now this is why you see the lightning bolt all throughout the film. This is the lightning bolt that we see the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, it's used to denote his rank. But in the film Rocky Horror, you see it all over the place if you open your eyes to it. It's the flag on top of Frankenstein's castle. And it was also used in the Frankenstein films to denote when the mad scientist ascended to the heavens and became the god. Because when he created the Frankenstein monster, that's when the lightning flash happened. Same as in Rocky Horror, when Frankenfurter creates Rocky. Now what this lightning bolt also represents is traversing the Kabbalah Tree of Life in the zigzag fashion. Again, we're talking about becoming God, reaching the top point, the crown. And the reason these occultists believe that they can become God is because they believe in the as above, so below concept. Things happening out in the cosmos can be reflected and affected by things happening right here in the microcosm. So they think that not only does the universe talk to them, but they talk to the universe. So yes, they can traverse the Tree of Life and become God themselves. Now what's interesting about Rocky Horror is we also see traversing this Tree of Life through the shortcut up the center, this pillar of consciousness. When you cut up through the center, you're crossing through the abyss, the void. But to do that, you must face Corone Zone, as Aleister Crowley called it. It's this demonic guard, the guardian of the abyss. Nodens, Typhon, Cthulhu, those are all various names for the same concept. So in the film, we're going to see how you could either cross through the lightning bolt, or you could shoot up the center, the pillar of consciousness. Again, the end game is to reach the top and become God. Another idea I go into in my book is, it's kind of more complex, but when Frank kills Eddie, we're watching the occult belief system in the origin of the world take place. Frank represents the Black Brotherhood, the Saturnian serpent, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call it, and he destroys the sun god, which is portrayed by Eddie. I want to go a little bit further into this idea of crossing the dark portion of the Tree of Life. This is called the Abyss, or Doth, as in Darth Vader from Star Wars. He represents them and embodies the dark side of the Force. But anyway, the idea is that these occultists, they're trying to reach godlike status. So they traverse this Tree of Life, but you can take this shortcut up the center, which is also called the G-Path. Perhaps that's why we see the G in the Freemason compass square. But anyways, the idea is that they want to traverse this Tree of Life. They go up the center, and this will destroy the ego and cause madness. So I find it curious that Riff Raff tells us in the song Time Warp that madness takes its toll. Now I believe many of these characters in the Rocky Horror Show, they are the portrayal of the fallen angels who exist in this tree of shadow version of the Tree of Life. They are the Klepoth. Riff Raff and Magenta, the brother-sister combination, who also have sex in the film, you know, it's not shown, but it's assumed. They represent Samael and Lilith. Now, these two were vampires, which only makes sense since we're told that these aliens came from the planet of Transylvania, obviously home of Dracula. And they infect Brad and Janet in the film, and we hear Janet talking about how she's tasted blood and she wants more in the song Touch a Touch a Touch Me. Indeed, it's occult beliefs that these alien gods sort of came from this constellation of Draco, and they were actually hermaphrodites. And again, this supports this idea of the androgynous perfected form of mankind, but the constellation of Draco is translated as dragon, which ironically ties us into a lot of the reptilian shapeshifter theories I talked about in my first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory. Another interesting finding I want to share is that Lilith and Samael were androgynous double-faced beings, which was supposedly what Adam and Eve were. That's what the occultists believe. And Lilith was a concubine to her brother Samael, which is what we see in the film. Riff Raff and Magenta are having sex. Now, another weird connection is that there were four concubines for Samael, and we see Frankenfurter, numerologically speaking, equivalent to the number four. As we also see, Eddie is numerologically equal to four. Wow, I can't say that word. Maybe I won't do that again. Anyways, so on the commentary that I read that supported this, they say that the marriage of Samael and Lilith claimed that God wouldn't allow them to reproduce more demon seeds. So what he did was he castrated Samael, and in the occult belief systems that look into this idea of this abyss, they believe there's a dragon of the abyss who is castrated form of the male Leviathan. So again, we're talking about equating Riff Raff with potentially Samael or the Klepoth or this demon that guards the abyss. Because in the Talmudic tradition, Samael is the angel of death. He is the one who is labeled as the heavenly host with destructive and grim duties. Well, that's what we see in the film. We see Riff Raff, who's the servant, the host, and he doles out the destructive and grim duties when he starts killing everybody at the end. He guides us through the time warp, which is the process used to enter the void, this abyss area. Now, people say you go crazy when you stare into the abyss. You can lose your mind. And that is because the guardian is able to dissolve the ego and cause a mental breakdown of any kind of initiate that tries to cross this area and they're not fully prepared. That's why in the song Time Warp, they say, "You bring your knees in tight, but it's the pelvic thrust that really drives you insane. Let's do the time warp again." They're talking about how you will go insane if you're not prepared to cross this path. And in the book, I go much further into this idea about the time warp being this entrance to a world of sex magic and sort of a trance-like state. It's a Dionysian ritual to try to make contact with the spiritual world. Because in the film, in the song, they talk about how the void will be calling. It's not requiring the audience to enter, but it asks them to follow along into the void. The story gets much stranger. In the book, I lay out how there's the original story of Rocky Horror was one in which there were transhumanistic gods from another planet, which, you know, from a lot of the stuff I've been talking about, transhumanism is the end game as well. It's a mankind's form of becoming God, in essence. I also talk about making contact with the shadow side or the shadow self. And then we also go into how going down this path of transhumanism and self-destruction is the ultimate Luciferian doctrine. They want to destroy mankind, God's creation, and they want to rebuild it according to Luciferian doctrine. I mean, you don't have to listen to me. Look at the fruit this show bears at Susan Sarandon, who played Janet. Just recently, I had a video where I talked about how Susan Sarandon was drinking Timothy Leary's ashes at the Burning Man Pagan Festival. Now, symbolically speaking, we're talking about some heavy-duty stuff here. Because Timothy Leary, besides his, condoning of LSD and how supposedly that was planted by the CIA, he was also kind of like a godfather of the 60s movement. So I find it curious that Susan Sarandon partakes of this Burning Man pagan ritual, in which was an ancient tradition where they used to burn people alive in this Burning Man. And she drinks Timothy Leary's ashes. I think most people agree with me that that is very odd behavior. And maybe I just don't get it. Maybe I'm just not enlightened to the Luciferian doctrine. But anyways, my point is, sometimes if you start following this sort of attitude or idea, you find yourself doing some wild stuff, like people trying to do transcendental meditation where they're contacting these spirits or channeling entities. You know, there's nothing wrong with meditation, there's nothing wrong with yoga, but when you take it a bit too far, I think you've fallen into the trappings of the Luciferian agenda, the satanic worship, all that kind of stuff that's a lot darker than what most people intend to get into when they start going down this path. That's why I think it's important we all become aware of what's going on, simply so we can discern for ourselves what we want to do, what we believe in, what we think is right and wrong. And in this book, I lay it all out in a way that makes sense, using a film that most of us have seen. Some of us, multiple times. Anyways, so check it out. The book's called It's Just a Jump to the Left, The Unauthorized Guide to Occult Symbolism in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And it's available on Amazon.com. I'm going to have it posted as many places as I can on IlluminatiWatcher.com. I have a shop page, and on it you can find this book and several of the other ones I've been mentioning and referencing, because you kind of need to know some of the other pieces of the puzzle if you don't really get what I'm talking about with some of this transhumanism stuff. But anyways, I'd love for you to read it. Take a look, see what you think. Leave some feedback on Amazon.com under the reviews, because I read all of those. I want to know if people are identifying with the stuff, if we're kind of resonating and gelling on our thought process here. And as always, I want to thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. Don't let this ruin your view of Rocky Horror Picture Show. If you're a fan like me, at first it was very upsetting. But I think it's just something we can take the information and become aware and try to discern for ourselves what we want to believe in and what we want to leave as entertainment, and not let it influence us in the wrong way. That's all. So please pick up the book. Thanks for reading. Thanks for watching. I love you all.
What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward Family Hospital in partnership with physician owners.
Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save an average of $470 on your auto insurance. That's a lot of money in just a few minutes. With savings like that, you could be lounging on an impractical amount of ornate and overpriced throw pillows you bought for your couch. But you won't, because you're better with money than that. That's why you're calling us in the first place. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Based on average nationwide annual savings survey data, July to December 2020, underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.